Wasn't Krishna an immortal god? How can he be supreme then? First of all, morality and immorality is decided by God and not living entities like us. Why? Because God is the supreme controller and we are always controlled. So whatever he does is ultimately all moral. One can test this by the result one attains. Generally in the material world, if one commits an immoral activity, then they are or will be punished by the laws of material nature, which is controlled by God. However, when God commits apparently an immoral activity, the result is that it not only increases the love amongst his devotees, but ultimately frees them from any material contamination like lust, envy, greed, pride, etc. Plus, whatever activities the Lord performs in this world are always on the transcendental platform and are free from any tinge of material contamination. This is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita that one understands that if one understands the transcendental nature of the Lord's appearance and activities, go back to the Lord. He is the owner and creator of all the jivas and all things of this world. So in that sense also, he has the first right and exclusive privilege to use and enjoy everyone and everything in this world. Also note that when the Lord enjoys with his devotees, he is enjoying the devotion of the soul within, which is his part and parcel, and doesn't focus on the externals like we do. So he is enjoying the jivas on the platform of soul and not on the bodily platform. God's body and soul are the same, whereas the jiva's body is always changing according to karma, but the soul remains the same for the jiva. But God is the creator of karma and hence does not possess any karma. That is why his activities are always conducted on a transcendental platform. Another important point to understand is that immorality cannot touch God because he is the creator of moral principles and controls them. If he is affected by it, then he can't be God. And since Krishna is that supreme God, we'll discuss some examples from his pastimes. One example is when Krishna steals butter, yogurt and makhan from his devotees' house in Vraj. Although the devotees apparently object to this act of his, but ultimately they desire that he always keep stealing it and keep increasing their pleasure. After all, his pastimes attract everyone from all over the universe, and it is glorified and praised throughout the scriptures by Shiva, Brahma, Parvati, Lakshmi and other demigods. And what does he really steal? One's sin accrued for many lifetimes and all the material contamination. And what does one gain? Everything. That would increase their love for him. So what to speak of just a mere thing like butter. A devotee gains everything. In the pastime of the fruit vendor selling fruits to Krishna, although Krishna took all the fruits from the vendor for free, but in return he filled up the fruit vendor's basket with jewels, whose price was exorbitantly much greater than all the fruits. In another example of Krishna stealing the gopis' clothes, on a mundane platform also it was a moral act. How? All these gopis had performed Katyayani Vrat for a whole month and desired Krishna as their husband. And that's the reason Krishna fulfilled their desire by making them appear naked in front of him. According to Dharma, a woman can only appear naked before her husband. Even though later on these gopis got married to other men, but ultimately these men were all Krishna's expansion. So actually they were all Krishna's wives. And Krishna performed the pastime just to demonstrate that ultimately everything belongs to him. Body, clothes, heart and soul. And when the Lord demands something, then one must return what is the Lord's. Otherwise, anyways, it will be taken away at the time of death. And this time is none other than the form of Krishna only. So then why not offer it to the Lord directly? Many people raise objection and doubts about Krishna's Raslila pastime of dancing with the wives of other men. But in reality, these gopis had married to Krishna's expansion only. Something wonderful about the Raslila is that great sages and all demigods like Shiva, Brahma, Ganesh, Indra, Parvati, all of them eulogize this pastime for eternity. Not only that, but even they wanted to participate in the pastime. Shiva became a gopi to enter the Raslila. Lakshmi also tried similarly, but she couldn't. And the demigods who couldn't enter or participate in the Raslila watched it from the skies and assisted Krishna in his pastime. All these great sages and demigods are perfect moralists. So if Krishna was immoral or his activities were immoral, then how could these great personalities hanker so eagerly to participate and eulogize it? Another thing really interesting about the Raslila is that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, at the time of his passing away, Bhishma Dev, even though such a staunch brahmachari himself, glorifies Krishna by remembering his Raslila pastimes and addresses him as the most perfect brahmachari in spite of being surrounded by millions of gopis. Can anyone be a brahmachari after being surrounded by so many women, more beautiful than even thousands of Lakshmis combined? No, only God can be like that. It is also mentioned in the scriptures that some of these gopis were eternal associates of Krishna descending from spiritual world. Some of them were Shrutis or scriptures in the previous life, and some of them were Munis or great sages during the time of Lord Ramchandra. They all desired to attain Krishna in the next life, and so the Lord fulfilled their desires and gave them birth in the womb of a gopis in the next life. Later on, when Krishna got married to 16,108 wives, he expanded himself into 16,108 forms, exchanged perfect relationship with each of them, but most importantly maintained all of them in big palaces. He also had 10 children from each wife, so he had like 161,080 children in total whom he maintained perfectly. This is the same Krishna who was, when 8 years old, lifted Govardhan with his little left finger, which is supposed to be the weakest part of the body. And this is the same Krishna who, when kills the demons, bestows them liberation. That is why one should understand the activities of Krishna from great devotees, else they would be surely misled and commit offenses to the Supreme Lord. No mortal human being can perform such extraordinary feats. That's why no one can imitate these pastimes. So to conclude, being the perfect and complete Lord, the Lord's immorality has a positive and different result than the immorality of this world. His immorality ultimately always benefits everyone, and that is why it is rightly said that God can never be immoral. Thank you.